What are your favorite porn sites?
Usually I'll try and search depending on who's asking me for the sperm. So I have an African American lesbian couple that's meeting me in a few minutes, so I'll probably be searching some big black booty lesbians.
Ari Nagel is a New York college professor. He's a teacher of mathematics. He's a true numbers guy. He has 84 children born so far, and he has 20 women currently pregnant. And he actually sent me the state abbreviation. So let's see how my schooling is here, Ari. Alabama, Connecticut, Florida, Georgia. MA is Maryland, Massachusetts? No, Maryland.
I'm pregnant in both.
All right. Maryland. Oh, yeah. Maryland was next on the list. New Hampshire, New York, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Texas, not including Europe and Africa. My second guest is Myron Cotton. He wrote to me telling me he can play guitar and sing entire songs while doing the splits behind the neck and the lean back position. That is a great bio. He started playing the guitar at 22 years old, and he's still learning today. By day, he's a plumber. And at night, he's a hard rockin' solo artist in Alberta, Canada. He had an appearance, a brief one, on The Tonight Show featuring Jimmy Fallon. And that is how I found him. So I guess you could say that you guys are both plumbing experts.
I'm going to be cleaning my pipes in a little bit later.
Okay. I bet you are. I've got a ton of questions for you both, actually. So we'll start. Actually, the first one's for you, Myron. So you're a plumber, but you're a plumber at a pretty cool place. Where is it that you work?
I work on at Four Wing Coal Lake, a military base in Canada. I'm a civilian.
That's pretty neat, man. So they are the, what did I read here? They're the busiest fighter base in Canada.
Yep.
Oh, that's cool, man.
And my job as a civilian is to maintain the base when the military is away. So they have civilians there, so the military can be deployed, so the base can still be operational. So,
oh, cool. And are you Israeli? Were you born in Israel?
No,
but I have three children in Israel.
But you went to, I saw briefly, I didn't find it again, but your education was through an Israeli college or a Hebrew. Do you speak Hebrew or not, none of that?
I went to yeshiva, but here in New York.
Oh, okay, cool. I went to Chabad when I was a kid. So, all right. So how many of the states have you actually been to, Ari, that we went through the list? How much traveling do you do?
I have a woman pregnant in Africa and Europe, so for there I traveled. But sometimes in the States, they may travel to me, or I might travel to them. So
do you make a vacation? So you're flying to Africa, let's say. Do you make a vacation out of it, or do you go in and go out?
No, I'll chill for the week.
Yeah, go see stuff. Okay. Question. So Ari, what is the goal? What is it you're trying to achieve? How many kids do you want? What is your end game?
I've reached my goal. Whatever my goal was, I've already succeeded in accomplishing that goal and surpassed it by many. I think my goal was a boy and a girl, I guess, like most people. Yeah. But in the end, it doesn't really matter how many kids I have. Ultimately, in the end, it's the women that are asking me for help to grow their families don't have any children. So it's about giving them their one child and not about me reaching my, triple digits, which, of course, I'll be hitting this year. And actually, in your introduction, you said 20 women pregnant, but I got another positive pregnancy test yesterday. So it's 21.
Okay, I'll change it.
And three of them are having twins.
I was going to ask you that. So with twins, and do you have any triplets? Or
I have no triplets, but with three women expecting twins, that means I have 24 kids on the way, which is my all-time high. I've never had that many on the way.
So is that exciting?
Well, I think if they all carried a term, to have 24 kids born in 9 months is an obscene number.
Yeah, so are you a Guinness Book of World Records guy?
I don't know about that, but 24 kids in 9 months, I think I gotta be coming close.
There's a heck of a lot of kids. So you, How do you know the kids are all yours? Because some of these women are trying real hard to get pregnant. I'm assuming all of them. Is that a safe assessment? Or how do you know you're the father? Yes.
Yeah, that's true. I'm just going based on their word. I didn't go on Maury or do paternity tests, but a lot of the women are lesbians. It's not like they're sleeping around with a lot of guys.
Yeah.
And they don't really have much of an incentive to lie to me. You know, it would be one thing if they were lying to me because they wanted to, you know, collect child support, but there really wasn't any of that. So
you discussed the child support, everybody. That was the first thing. You know, the first, how do they know the kids aren't going to sleep together? But I'm, you know, these women are all around the world, so I don't think that's really a problem. But what about the child support? So you said in an interview I watched, I don't know, 2014, 2016 or something, that a few of the women in the get-go had sued you successfully, and they had got child support. And now I don't have anything left, so whatever. Are you still in the same boat?
Yeah, but what's remarkable is not the five women that sued. What's remarkable is that the 79 women that were honest and kept their word and didn't go sue me for child support. And to me, that just speaks so much to their character, because they don't know me anything. They could just as easily say, hey, let me collect the check for the next 21 years. And the fact that they're not, I think, is pretty amazing.
And so if they're collecting child support from you, how do you afford to fly to Africa, for example? Where, or do you have people that are benefactors sponsoring you, anything like that?
No, I never charge the women that I'm helping, but if there is travel expenses, then they'll reimburse me. So I had a woman from reimburse my trip to Zimbabwe in January. And then while I was there, I actually also went to Nigeria, helped a woman there. I actually made that anyway. So sometimes I'll double up trips, you know, to help save. So I'll be going to Europe this summer and I'll try and maybe do two women in Poland and maybe other countries fall in there.
Okay. You know, I was going to joke, because I was going to say Tommy Lee was the Sperminator, but I guess he's not holding a candle to you, are.
Actually, Arnold Schwarzenegger was the, I think, original Sperminator.
He was the original guy with the mane.
Yeah, because he was called the Terminator, and then they named him the Sperminator when he had that child out of wedlock.
So I had, I'm a memorabilia dealer, guys, and I had, so Arnold, he gave Christmas cards away to all the people in his cabinet at one point when he was the governor, all right, of California. And so I got these Christmas cards to resell, and they weren't original. He made a couple hundred to give out to people. I don't know. And I had somebody from out of the country who wanted them. And I was like, I would never sell this American treasure to anybody. And I refused to sell them Arnold Schwarzenegger's Christmas cards. So I wouldn't let him leave the country, even though he's from a different country. But hey, you know, what women have you turned down that are looking for sperm? Why would you turn them down?
I never turned anyone down. But sometimes if they're older, I would just tell them, listen, we're going to need to use a clinic because I'm not going to be able to help you on my own. So for example, a woman that's 45, doesn't really matter how many times I try. I used to try and help them on my own, but then after a dozen years of trying, you eventually say, wait a minute, this is not really working out. And then you Google it, you see it's basically like winning the Mega Millions lottery, and the chances of you conceiving is not realistic without a clinic. So I don't really say no. I would just say, well, for you, we need to use a clinic. And then sometimes I might have two women that are ovulating the same day and I might push them off. Or then sometimes there's a scenario of like, oh, it's February. Can you come to Flint, Michigan? I don't want to go to Flint, Michigan in February. I'd be like, you know what? Why don't you come here? Typically, if they use a clinic, I'll travel to them. And if not, my daughter's calling me. She's 3.
Oh,
I get a lot of that. We could, but it's all right. I'll call her back.
Have you traveled outside of Canada, Myron?
Oh, not yet, no. Like when I was 11, my family went to the States in Mexico, but I haven't traveled outside of Canada since, you know, pretty much I was 11 years old.
Wow. How many kids do you have in Canada, Ari?
0.
Wow. What, the Canadians don't like you?
I have requests in Canada. Uh-huh. You know, it's been difficult with COVID. Their border has been very, very closed.
Yeah, fair enough. Are you a religious man, Ari?
No. Not at all. No, but I grew up quite religious.
Yeah, well, the yeshiva and all, sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and all my parents are still pretty devout. And all my brothers and sisters are married in very traditional families with children that way.
So how many brothers and sisters do you have?
Four brothers, two sisters, 27 nieces and nephews.
Oh, you're a big family anyway. Uh-huh. How about you, Myron? Do you have any brothers and sisters?
I have one brother and one sister.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's not a lot, is it, Ari?
You know, a lot of the moms that reach out to me for help, you know, they might have been 40 years old and the opportunity for a sibling isn't there.
Yeah.
So they're only children, and they would love the fact that their kids can get together with their brothers and sisters so they're not only children and they have been able to bond, and the kid won't be, you know, because the opportunity to give their child a sibling wasn't there for them. But then at least I was able to give them brothers and sisters. So I have a birthday party scheduled for Sunday, and she's an only child, but of course she's going to have lots of brothers and sisters that'll attend her party.
Okay. Myron, what's so important about doing the splits when you're playing your music?
Well, it's pretty much that adds showmanship and pizzazz to it. So, like I said, my main gimmick's guitar tricks, but I also have four copyright originals. I actually have eight copyright original songs. So,
cool.
I did the paperwork for my upcoming album, The Untraveled Road. So, I have four new ones on the way, and the copyright paperwork's done. So I technically have eight copyright original songs as well. But like I said, this will be entertaining. So when people see me do this list, they clap and cheer. So when you're on stage, as a musician, as a professional, you have to be entertaining.
Yeah.
And maybe I do this list and my lean back trick and behind the next steps entertain the crowd.
That's awesome. So Ari, how many of these guys, when you get on them with these guys, I mean, most of them are berating you, or actually the people interviewing you are usually nice? Do you like the fact that they're giving you crap and they're pretty mean to you? Some of these guys, man, do you care? Do you like it?
No, I think ultimately it probably makes more compelling, interview if they ask tough questions, and that's okay. I understand that.
These are pretty tough, I know. I got some hard-hitting ones for you. Yeah. I don't know what you expected from the roadie guy.
You don't have to hold back.
I got a couple coming that aren't there. Basically, I threw it out. I said I was going to talk to you on here, and I asked my audience what they think. And I got a newer audience. I've been around for a month, but we got 2,000 downloads in the first month. So thank you, Myron, and everybody else for helping out. But they were kind of like, why the hell would you want to talk to this guy? Why give him a public forum? That was the biggie. Some of this other stuff, but I figure, I talk to someone and ask them why, what's the point? So that's what we're doing. So when did the media first notice you, Ari?
It was exactly 5 years ago.
No, it's not long at all.
No, it was Father's Day. They said, oh, we're doing a story on a couple different dads. This was the New York Post. And they said, do you want to be one of the dads profiled? I thought it was just going to be some fluff piece buried in the paper. I said, sure, why not? The reporter said she knew me. We were friends, or we had mutual friends. I didn't really remember meeting her. But
so anyway, 5 years ago, how many kids did you have?
In the 20s, maybe 25.
Oh, okay.
I was doing like three a year.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and it wasn't a fluff piece. There was no other dad's profile. It was a bit of a setup. She ended up putting me on the cover of the New York Post, and there was no other fathers there.
So did you lose your job or anything like that, or did it cause you any kind of hardship? Or
No, they didn't fire me. I have tenure, so that helps. I have job security as a professor, but I don't think they want to be known for having discriminated work there. So, but they understand. I keep it separate.
Have you had any students leave your course because of they find out who you are?
No, definitely not. They don't know. I don't think they read the paper.
No.
Watch Maury.
Math people don't read.
It's a community college,
Okay. Have you ever had any students who wanted sperm from you?
Yes, sometimes, but... of course, I can't be knocking on my students. That wouldn't be good.
You have a line.
I do. And that's true. You asked me if I say no, and there you go. I cannot help any students, or even if they weren't even my students, if they were students at the school, I just wouldn't. I need my job. I have too many mouths to feed.
Yeah. So Ari wants to start writing music, Myron. How would you suggest that he begins penning his musical memoirs? How do you write your songs, Myron?
I go from experiences from my life. So, like I said, my new song, like, for example, M&P, is on my new album.
Okay.
It started as a joke towards a couple of my coworkers, a few of my coworkers in base. They said there was like my sergeant was hiding the floor engineer room. There's my buddies Mike and Patrick there.
Okay.
And we're talking. I said, I'm hiding. Said, oh, we're on YouTube channel business. So you're MMP. I should write a song about that. And I wrote a song. I'm serious. Wrote a song called MMP and some pieces of paper and showed it to them as a joke. Showed my sergeant that I was joking with. That was really on YouTube channel business. So I said it comes from my life experiences.
Good.
Yeah.
Have you fought for custody of any of your children?
And no, not even for the five women that filed for child support. I never filed for custody.
You never have. Okay. This one I came up with. I thought this was fun. That's why I'm prefacing the way. This one's a good one. But are there any historical figures you were impressed by because of how many children they had?
Yeah, sometimes I once had a reporter from Italy who was doing a piece on me, and he printed out something from Wikipedia. It was showing me, you know, who had the most children. I wasn't even on the list. But of course, I would rank pretty high. It was like, it was interesting because it was like, you know, some Arab sheiks, you know, were in there. And then there were Mormons, you know, from America. It was a handful of those, you know, the head of the Latter-day Saints movement and whatnot. And then, you know, king of Thailand and king of Africa. So it was pretty illustrious list. And then there was a smattering of some sperm donors in there.
Does it concern you when bloodlines run dry? For example, the Napoleon bloodline has run dry, the Medici family ran dry. Is this kind of thing, you know, I'm trying to basically assess what's your incentive to have as many kids as you're having. And are those things that you think you innately concern you in any way? You have no way of running dry at this point, clearly, but...
I'm not so concerned about what happens after I die, you know, leaving a legacy behind. I mean, what's the difference? I'll be dead. So, no, it's nothing about just trying to repopulate or spread my seed. That never played a role. I think I definitely was from a big family. So in some ways, maybe when I was starting, I wanted to grow my family. But then after you have, a dozen kids, you know, there's really no desire to continue to grow your family. I think in the end, I see how happy the children are, how happy the moms are. And I was able to spread so much love and joy. And women are coming to help me, to ask me for help to grow their families. And I should tell them, well, sorry, I have enough. And they were like, well, we don't really care. You have what we want, our baby, you know, and we want our baby girl.
Yeah.
It feels like the right thing to do.
You said in an interview in 2016, you'd probably only be doing it for a few more years because, well, you know, you're getting older. What changed? Because you're still doing it.
Yeah, well, I'm 45 and, you know, I look at my dad stopped having children at 46. So, you know, yeah, but I'm not going to be doing this when I'm in my 50s.
Why? Because it's a lot of work or why would you stop?
No, not at all. It's not a lot of work. It's a lot of pleasure. I don't look at it as work. It is fun. And I would stop up because there are, I think, additional health risks of the older the male. Even though physically I'd be capable of having children for many more years to come, I think the health of the children, sometimes there may be increased risks of autism. There's not really clear the studies, but I do believe that the older the woman is, obviously there's increased risks for Down syndrome or whatnot. And then it's true for the male as well. I think ultimately it's probably not healthy. I think if you were starting a family of your own, that would be different. You'd want to just, you know, take the chance. But if I'm donating, I think ultimately the women should probably just find someone younger.
Does it concern you that the kids won't have a father figure? I mean, I did just hear your phone ring, but you can't answer the phone for all these kids.
Yeah, absolutely. But the truth is that I'm nobody's first choice. Okay. So these lesbian couples wish that they had the biology to just conceive between the two of them. We understand that. They don't want to choose some random stranger to be the father of their child. But the option that's available to them is, you know, well, they could go to a sperm bank and then pick somebody out of a booklet, right? And then find somebody to be the father of the child, but that guy's going to be anonymous. What kind of father is he going to be? So even if I can't be a full-time father, I think at the bare minimum, I could give the children, you know, some security and having no identity issues of knowing who they are. If you look and talk to donor-conceived children, they just want to know who their father is, and they don't even have that ability. So I try and let my children know every day that I love them and that I care about them. But you're right. There's no way I could be as good of a father as my father was to me. But I'm not replacing a full-time dad. Obviously, even if a single woman reaches out to me, yeah, I wasn't her first choice either. She would much prefer to find a lifetime partner and someone to marry and a husband. But if she's 38 and 39 and she's not meeting the love of her life and she still wants to desperately become a mother, then she can opt to use me instead of a frozen anonymous sperm donor that you never get to meet. And then also the child will never get to meet as well.
Does any of your brothers, sisters, are they mad at you for what you do? Or?
I think maybe perhaps some of them are ashamed, but they're not mad. I have a very good relationship with all my brothers and sisters. And my kids get together with their cousins. Sunday, I went to my sister and brought some kids there. We had a good day.
Yeah. So here's one. What age were you first sexually active?
You know, I went to an all-boys elementary school and an all-boys high school. So I would have been in college that I actually made any progress. You know, I was a little socially retarded as well, because when you go to an all-boys school and you're not really encountering girls, you're not very adept at talking to them. And, it took a little bit of time.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I look around and think about my elementary school and my high school, and everybody in my class were males. Everybody was white and everybody was Jewish. They all just looked like me. And then now I look at my family, and of course I have kids in Asia and Africa and you name it. I have every religion, every race, every orientation. So it's a much more colorful family.
Yeah. Did you ever do the DNA and me thing?
Yep. I'm very, very Jewish, over 99.9%. In fact, I had a woman in Israel, and she tried with two men the same week. One of them was me, and then there was another guy, and she wanted to know who's going to be the father of the child. She wasn't sure. So yeah. We were trying to do a paternity test, but it was extremely difficult because she's 5,000 miles away in Israel, and I was in the United States. So I said, listen, instead of us trying to do a paternity test, just do 23andMe, and then it's going to alert me that I have a relative. And then sure enough, that's what she did, and we were able to see that the child shared 50% of my DNA, and that's how she knew I was the father.
Yeah. What is the question you're asked most often from guys like me?
Why?
Yeah, why?
Why are you doing it? You know, and I think you could probably ask all parents, why are you having kids? I mean, a lot of the reasons are the same.
Did you ever want to have kids, Myron?
No.
Yeah.
I don't want to have any kids, so.
All right. One of the things that I see that you're gaining a lot in your eyes, and I get that, but you're losing too. Can you have a personal relationship at this point? It would be difficult. There's no question.
Yeah. A lot of short-term relationships, very, very difficult to date. It's really just unfair to whoever I'd be dating, because if I had a partner and she wanted to be intimate last night and I said, sorry, I have a girl coming from Jersey, so I really can't be intimate with you because I want to abstain for, you know, my future ejaculation to help her have a baby. That's not something anyone should accept. So
it's kind of some weird pillow talk, Ari.
Yeah. Right. And then, of course, it doesn't mean that I'm not lacking love in my life. I mean, a lot of these women don't look to me as a donor. They look to me as family, and they're just so forever appreciative. So there's a lot of love between me and all of the moms, even if it's not of the romantic nature.
Yeah. What are your favorite porn sites?
You know, usually I'll try and search depending on who's asking me for the sperm. So I have an African-American lesbian couple that's meeting me in a few minutes. So I'll probably be searching some big black booty lesbians. You know, I felt like it's appropriate.
What's your oddest one that you've looked up? I mean, yeah, in relation to donating sperm.
Yeah. You know, I have a trans couple that's expecting. I have kids with trans couples.
Okay. This one we can all answer, maybe. All right. So what's the best music to have sex to? Barry White, Tool. What do you got?
I think we got to refer to the musician here, right?
Well, the musician I know is a big Motorhead fan. I do know that. Am I right, Myron?
Yeah, I like Motorhead, so.
Do you like any soft music?
Mostly rock music. I do listen to soft music once in a while, so.
Good.
Yeah, my song M&P, Me and Pussy, that'd be a really good banger song. So,
it's a good start. That's a good start.
it's not been released on CD yet, but you can see, hear in this podcast, which I did with my buddy Robert.
Yeah.
My Facebook page, and it's fine on YouTube as well. So, plus, I play a lot on my live Instagram stream. So, my song M&P, once I get finished in the studio, and on a CD, I'm pretty sure that'd be a really banger, good banger for the bedroom. So
I like it. All right. Do you want people to like you?
I think I'm not one of those people that says I don't really care what anyone thinks about me. But, you know, somebody wants to read an article and, you know, draw an opinion about me and without even knowing me, ultimately, in the end, I think that's more of a reflection of the kind of person they are than anything about me. Ultimately, the opinions that matter most to me are the people that are love me and that are close to me and that know me. And certainly those opinions matter. My family, my children, and my children's mothers. I think those would be the most important. I think but ultimately the most important opinion has to be the opinion I have of myself. And I think in my heart of hearts, I feel like I'm doing the right thing. So I'm not so stressed if people have a poor opinion of me.
Yeah. All right. So this one's from my buddy Vince at the, he does a podcast called Beyond the Backstage Pass. And it was, are you insane?
Well, my mother would say yes. Yeah, but she's not a medical doctor, but she would say, yes, you're crazy. When are you going to become normal? So that's her opinion. I have my brother is a psychiatrist, so he probably better answer that. You know, I'm not on any medication, you know, and I'm happy. So
what are your
really fix something that's not broken?
What are your beliefs on abortion?
Yeah, it's women's right to choose.
All right. This one's fun. What's your most awkward situation experience while in the act?
You know, in doing it in very uncomfortable places, you know, it's random. So I'm just meeting them, you know, it's just random places. Sometimes they're in this city, I'm in that city, we'll meet halfway, you know, and we're not really getting a hotel for something that's really going to take around a minute or two. You know, it's not like we're being intimate. So we're meeting just for a few minutes. So it doesn't make sense to pay $100 for a hotel if we just can do the handoff anywhere. So a lot of times we're just doing it in very random places, you name it. So
you don't have them come to your home?
Certainly they're always so welcome. I can go to their home. They can go to my home if they're local, but more often than not, we're meeting somewhere public.
Have you had like hate mail and stuff like that that's gotten to you?
Yeah, but that's like 99% positive, 1% negative ballpark. You know, very, very rare. I save them. There's not that many. But I would say I met a woman in an airport because I was flying out and she was ovulating and she wanted to catch me or I was in a stopover and she meets me in the airport and I go into the airport restroom right before security. Of course, I'm very, very late for my flight. And I put the sperm into the cup and I immediately hand it over to her and then I run through security. And then security did a body scan. And then of course they see a little liquid at the end of my schnecky, you know? Because there was a little post cum, and then the guy was like, "What's that? You know, why you have liquid in there?" And he wanted to pat me down, so that was a little awkward. And then sometimes you're just doing it in a public restroom, and you know, some like hotel lobby restrooms, you have to close the door and then lock it. You can't lock it and then close it. Otherwise, it just pops open because they don't want anyone to lock the door with nobody in there. So I had people walking on me in the middle. Why is he jerking off in the hotel lobby restroom? You know,
yeah, that would be awkward. Hello, next thing you know, be arrested. Yeah. What do you feel that you have that is so awesome that you need to pass it on?
That would be a better question for the women. And I think the reasons they choose me vary, but I think the number one reason is because it's free. I'm not charging them. So if they could exhaust all their funds in a fertility clinic, and some of them have, and then they reach out to me and say, well, I have no more money left. You know, can you help us? And then, you know, listen, sometimes they choose me because I'm good at math, or because I'm tall, or I have blue eyes, or sometimes it's because I'm Jewish and they're Jewish. Sometimes it's because of physical traits. Maybe it's a lesbian couple and then the partner looks like me and the other partner doesn't. So they want something that will resemble somewhat their partner. So there's all sorts of random reasons. I had women tell me that, you know, you have a very big heart and I want my child to be very kind. That was her opinion anyway. That's why she chose.
Is that a literal big heart, or is that larger than that?
I've had, Reuters called me once and they wanted to do an interview, and I'm on the phone with Reuters and they asked me the exact same question. You asked me, why do women choose you? And at the time I was with a woman from New Mexico who flew all the way to New York to try and get sperm and get pregnant, and I was at a hotel for the free breakfast. So I said, here, I could hand the phone over to her. She could tell you all the reasons why she chose me, because I'm tall or good looking or all these other reasons. Oh, he lives far, and that's why I chose him. She wanted someone who did not live in her town. She wanted someone who lived on the other side of the country. The reason vary.
Well, with that many people, you would think it would. I mean, statistically, I guess you'd have different reason rationale.
Living far, I just didn't think would be one of them.
What do you do at the holiday time, Ari? I'm just thinking about that. So, I mean, you can't send presents to all these kids.
It's not in the budget. You know, we just had Mother's Day, and I thought, you know, well, let me send each mom $20, but I can't do that. That would be a big chunk of change, and most of my salary is garnished from child support. So, you know, Father's Day is coming up, so that's a busy day for me. And I usually do a communal dinner, and everyone's welcome. Of course, I'll get a lot of phone calls and messages.
Yeah, so you do what you can. Byron, do you have a roadie?
I don't really have a. Like I said, I'm a solo artist. I have a manager called Daniel McLaughlin.
Daniel McLaughlin. Okay, so he's your roadie?
Yes, pretty much.
Have you ever written a song while doing the splits, Myron?
You want me to do a song doing the splits for you?
Oh, I don't know. Ari, what do you think?
That was going to be my first question, of course.
Of course. Ari would love to see it, dude. Let's see. We would love that.
Okay. This might be a bit tricky because I don't have a camera available, but like,
well, so, you know, he has a tricky dick and all.
I can do split songs easily, but seeing as
learn that at Chabad, Myron.
Give me that good angle without a cameraman for this. All so, right. I mean, just grab a.
So, is this an unusual podcast for you, Ari?
Yeah,
we haven't been mean to you at all.
Well, saying this, you might not be able to see me correctly.
All right, let's see what you got, Myron. Let's see it, my friend.
I'm almost at 50% capacity, but can you?
Okay.
Can you guys see me?
Yeah, if you could put the camera down a little bit, that would be cool. But if it's tough, we're all right.
Yeah, I do live streams on Instagram.
Right.
Like you said, because when I did my split videos, I had Daniel McLaughlin be my camera person. But
yeah.
Like I said, you
got to keep that guy as your roadie. Okay.
So is this good?
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. Ari, you good?
Yeah, because I did.
Yeah.
See what we got. We need to get Ari in the mood here.
I want to get on Jimmy Fallon. I got to see what I got to do.
We got to see.
That was a bit of a pain. So you guys can see me?
Yeah, we see you.
Yeah, this is the very first time I've done splits in a live stream without a camera person. So
you're like a professional, buddy. We had no idea.
Yeah. You're my angel night. In the darkness, you're my only light. My angel tonight is like we're going on the floor. It's beginning more. The darkness before dawn will never come. You're my angel of night. Oh, my angel tonight. The darkness you blend in the essence of the light.
Oh, wow. All right. Thanks. All right. Ari, you asked for it, man. Music is the language of love.
I'm going to leave the questions to you from now on.
You're the one. No, Myron, that was great. Thank you, man. We appreciate it.
Yeah.
That was good. Yeah. Myron, question for you. So if music doesn't work out for you, would you be happy working on the bass? Are you happy being a plumber, man?
Yeah, it's a pretty good job, though.
Yeah,
it's a pretty good job. It's job security. It's good people to work with.
Yeah,
it's a good work schedule.
What were some of your other jobs, Ari, when you were a kid?
I've been working as a college professor for more than 20 years, so I haven't really had any other jobs as an adult. But I was a lifeguard at the summer camps. I was giving lifeguarding classes and things like that, and summer camps, and before the summer, bungalow colonies, that kind of thing. And then I'd waiter as a kid, bar mitzvahs and weddings growing up.
So what do you say to people who hate algebra?
That's how I make my living. it's my bread and butter, of course, because then they repeat the class over and over again. We love the students that hate algebra. Yeah.
I made it through because I took statistics, and the guy would give us a grade depending on how much of the answer we made it through. So if we got half of it correct, we would get 50%, 60%. And that made it so I could get a D and then finish off my mathematics course. So I was an art history major. Yeah, what do you want?
I strictly do multiple choice. So you'd be out of luck.
I would hate you. I would not like you as a teacher. It'd be rough. I would be taking your class over and over and over again. Well, guys, I really appreciate
all my students are acing since school's been online. They're doing very, very well.
Oh, I bet. So how does that work? Are they timed? I mean, can I take my leisure?
Each professor and teacher makes up their own policy. So I don't time my exams, but a lot of them do.
Yeah, I could do okay then. All right. Byron, you got any questions for our friend Ari?
So looks like you're a pretty busy guy. You have lots of kids, so you seem to be a pretty good family man.
There you go. See, you even got compliments at the end.
Yeah, well, I asked to see your skill, but I'm glad you didn't ask to see my skill. That's okay. You know,
we are all glad. We are all pleased, but you are clearly good at it, I suppose we could all say. So guys, thanks for taking the time to talk to me today. It means a lot. I appreciate it, and I hope you guys both have a really good week.
Yes,
thanks so much. Pleasure, Joel. Nice meeting you, Myron.
Nice meeting you, Ari. So yeah, so this is a pretty good interview. So
it was a good one.
I enjoyed myself.
Enough said, right? There we go. Definitely. Our audience is bigger and bigger. All right, guys. We'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks.
Okay, be well. Later.
Hey, thanks for watching Party Like a Rockstar. If you're not already subscribed to the Facebook or YouTube channels, do it. We're also on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. The handle is Party of Stars. Thanks for watching. You'll see you next time.